Blog Talk Radio.
Daytona International Speedway. Redefined everything 30. 30-second stereo radio. HISC 0100.
The Daytona 500. It's the race that defines legends. And as the world's only motorsports stadium, Daytona International Speedway is the place that redefines what a race can be. You can experience it all and witness the next career-defining NASCAR moment at the Great American Race. But hurry, the 2016 race sold out, so don't miss out in 2017. The Daytona 500, Sunday, February 26th. Guarantee your seats at 1-800-PIT-SHOP or Daytona500.com.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Live from Dega Nation, you're listening to the Pit Stop Radio on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. I'm Tim Spain, alongside of my good friend from SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Let's bring on Reverend Joe, the official reverend of the show, and let's go ahead and get this party started. Let me find my button. I'm losing my button, and I know Reverend Joe's going to get on me. Here we go. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight? I lost my button again.
Oh, I knew that, but I'm not going to give you a hard time. I can't figure out where I am today, so I'm no better off than you. I'm doing okay. It's just been crazy. But the weather in Southern California is so beautiful. I can't. It's wonderful.
Well, that's good. How's Miss Betty doing, bud?
She's going a little crazy trying to catch up with what she's got to get done and running around in circles, but she's going to be fine. She sends her love.
Well, tell her we send her love too, Reverend. Go ahead and let's get everything going, bud. We got a big show tonight.
All righty. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today, and we thank you for all you do for us. We ask you to be behind all of our government officials. Get them all on the same page as you. I don't care about all these other things I want to whine about. I want them on the same page as you. And that's what every good Christian prays for. We ask you to bless our radio show. Bless everything that's going on everywhere. We thank you for the 24 hours of Daytona being safe. And we ask you, please, to bless everyone involved. Please be with our military. Keep their backs. Watch what's happening. Show them the way. Watch over their families at home while they're gone. And we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And it's in his name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff.
Woo!
Thank you.
Reverend Joe, I say it every week, and I'm going to say it again. Great invocation, my friend. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website.
Yes, sir. They can find me on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubico, B-U-B-B-I-C-O. You can get me at OnTrackWithJesus.org, and you can get me with OnTrackWithJesus@AOL.com. And my phone number is 951-232-7630. Hope to be talking to you.
Reverend Joe, thank you very much for being our Reverend. You're Johnny on the spot every weekend. Tell Miss Betty we said hello, and you have a great rest of the week, my friend.
We shall do that. Thank you. Take care, Tim.
All right. See you, bud. That's a good friend, Reverend Joe, from out there on the West Coast. We got Stephen Wilson here, SpeedwayDigest.com. Stephen, how's it going, bud?
I'm doing all right. It's a little bit cold up here, but it's hopefully it'll warm up at some point.
I hate to break your heart, my friend, but it's it got up to 70 degrees today here in Talladega, and it was really and it's not that bad out there right now. So I mean, we got some crazy weather for the month of January. You know, we've had ice and tornadoes down south of us. I mean, it's just been really crazy, but it hit 70 degrees here in Dega Nation today. That was really awesome.
Well, it snowed up here a little bit yesterday for, I don't know, a couple of hours. It didn't stick. It really didn't do anything much of anything, but it snowed nonetheless.
Well, now, y'all get a lot of snow up there, Stu. I mean, you know, like a while back, I seen some pictures AM posted on Facebook. I mean, you know, y'all were snowed in there, what, I think it was right after we had our little small ice deal we had, wasn't it?
Yeah. We got about 12 and a half, 13 inches worth of snow up here. So we got quite a bit of snow, but that's usually about once a year we get that, and the rest of it is just more or less flurries and little odds and ends stuff here and there. But that's usually just a once-a-year deal thing for us.
Yeah. And, Stephen, just to let everybody know, the number to call in is 215-383-3681. I'm Tim Spain of Pit Stop Radio alongside SpeedwayDigest.com. Stephen Wilson, tonight on the show, coming up here shortly, we have live from the Valley of the Sun at Phoenix International Raceway, my good friend Mr. Woody Kane from Motor Racing Network, and then coming up at 20 minutes to the top of the hour, which would be 10 minutes, I'm getting good on my math here, which would be 10 minutes past the bottom of the hour, we have my good friend from Brett Holmes Racing. Mr. Brett Holmes is going to join us to talk about his deal that he's going full-time ARCA racing this time, Stephen. That's going to be pretty good to hear from him. And we've had some news, Stephen, while we're waiting on Woody Kane here. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of big stuff out of Thor Sport Racing. I mean, you know, they built their new shop. Grant Infinger signed with them. Grant's going to – that's my good friend from down in Fairhope, Alabama, here just south of me. And he's going to race full-time this year with Thor Sport. And also, I think Ben Rhodes and Cody Coughlin, which I interviewed Cody Coughlin a couple of years ago when I was working for 92.7 here at Talladega Super Speedway. I interviewed Cody. Cody's a real good guy, but would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, most of you know, what they've done over there, they're rebuilding their entire team over there. Unfortunately, Rico Abreu is not coming back with them in the number 98 truck. Just the sponsorship aspect of that. Wasn't there for him to come back over and run with them. You know, he's fairly accomplished over there on the sprint and dirt series side, winning multiple times in many of the sprint cup series. We're still talking about that. the sprint car series and. You know, he's not going to be able to return just because sponsorship just isn't there for them. So, you know, they've had to restructure some of their organization here for 2017. Bringing Grant Enfinger, who was racing for GMS Racing this past year, not in a full-time deal, but a little bit in the trucks and a little bit in ARCA. So it was kind of split for GMS over there. And then you've got Cody Coughlin, who was racing for KBM last year. That was also just a split deal where, you know, he wasn't running full-time for KBM. It was again in that number 51 truck where, you know, they needed to fill in some races here and there. So that's going to be a full-time deal to have him over there. So, you know, they're really just rebuilding a lot of what's going on over there at Gore Sport Racing. And, you know, last year when a lot of people remember is that they had a fire in their shop out there, you know, in Ohio where they're based out of. A lot of their trucks were damaged. A lot of their fabrication shop was damaged. Their setup shop, paint booths, a lot of things that they, engine shop, things like that, were really just damaged. So a lot of this is really just them getting back on and doing the things that they need to do and working back under their own facility and getting back and working, you know, as a full-fledged team with four trucks out there. I think that put a little bit of a damper on their team last year and not really being able to, I mean, I know that they ran for, you know, 100% as much as they could throughout the season. I know they had a lot of damaged trucks and a lot of damaged equipment, and they made every single race from the aspect of when the shop burnt down. But, you know, it did really just put a little bit of a damper on their season. And I think it affected them just a little bit. But I think going into 2017, they're just rebuilding a lot of this back up. But, you know, they've got Matt Crafton as really their, you know, driving force behind this team, which is going to be, you know, the veteran that's going to lead this team into 2017, a previous champion from 2015.
And, Steven, just to touch a little bit about what you said, you know, Grant Infinger, you know, he was running a part-time schedule last year with GMS Racing. He won the Fred's 250 here at Talladega Super Speedway back in October, driving a Chevrolet. Do you think that's going to be a big change for Grant going from Chevrolet to Toyota? I mean, you know, with Toyota dumps, they dump a ton of money into our sport, whether it be trucks, Xfinity Series, or the Monster, let me see if I can get it, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. They dump a ton of money. Do you think it's going to be a big change for Grant going from the Chevrolet there at GMS to the Toyota there with Thor Sport?
I think, you know, from the aspect of going from Chevrolet to Toyota, I think he's going to see a lot of differences in the way of, you know, the way those two manufacturers work. You know, you're right. They put a lot of marketing. They put a lot of money into the sport. They put a lot of engineering into the sport, and especially in the truck series where, you know, they have been a foothold in that sport ever since they came in. You know, they have not taken their foot off the gas ever since they came into the Camping World Truck Series nearly a decade ago. And I think he's going to see the benefits out of that, whereas, you know, Chevrolet has – you know, they're starting to catch back up with, you know, Toyota in the Camping World Truck Series. GMS Racing won last year under the Chevrolet banner for the Camping World Truck Series championship. And, you know, Ford is starting to reinvest with Brad Keselowski Racing. This is the first time, really, in many, many years that Ford has really announced a reinvestment back into that series. I think he's going to see an immense amount of difference between the way that the manufacturers work in the sport, and especially between the parity between the two is definitely going to be a great difference. The power aspect between the motors that they put out between Chevrolet and Toyota are a lot much different. This is why you see Toyota competing on the level that they do in the truck series, winning like they do, and I think that this will be a benefit to him by moving over there to Ford Sport.
I do too, Stephen. I definitely agree. And I've got a call. I need to call Grant or either text him. I'd like to get him on the show. But while I'm thinking about it, Suzanne's got somebody in the screen room. I think it probably would have came from MRN, but I want to touch a little bit right quick. But I want to bring him on as soon as I can because his time is limited. But just want to tell everybody next Tuesday night, Suzanne can correct me if I'm wrong, we've got Scott Zipadelli, which was just announced as crew chief for Ryan Truex to compete from Atari Racing Enterprises, Stephen. And just want to talk a little bit about that real quick before. I mean, you know, you and I both got the got the press release about Ryan Truex and Scott Zipadilly. But we can talk about that at a later time if we can, Stephen. Right now, I want to bring on live from the Valley of the Sun from Phoenix International Raceway, MRN's own Mr. Woody King.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Woody, how you doing tonight, bud?
Boy, I thought we were about to fight or something. What's up with that? Are we rumbling?
No, it's been a long time since we talked. Last time he was on the show, I think I brought you in on that. We'd like to bring you and all of our special guests in as, let's get ready to rumble. We're live from Dega Nation. How's it going, my friend?
All right. Doing good out here in the Valley of the Sun. Low 70s and really nice.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Stephen was talking earlier, right whenever Stephen came on to WilsonSpeedwayDigest.com, he was saying that they had a little bit of snow. I wanted to bust his bubble. You're talking about 70s out there. It made it to 70 here in Talladega today, too, Woody.
Yeah, that's nice. I'll take a healthy dose of that. I got to go back home tomorrow, and my wife said it's in the 40s. So what are you going to do?
That's right. Like we say here in Alabama, it's weather enough. It's like, the winter in Alabama, one minute you got the heat on, one minute you got the air on. But anyway, Woody, thanks for taking your time out to call in from out there from Phoenix International Raceway. And I'm going to throw you over to Stephen. I know Stephen's got a ton of questions, and I know your time is limited, but I do want to ask you a couple after Stephen gets done, and I want to play the audio from Dale Jr. there at Phoenix International where you ask him a question, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Woody. Stephen.
Woody, appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. My first, the biggest thing that I think is, Dale Jr. Getting back out there in a car and really just running around some of the other drivers in the sport in a test ever since he was out with that concussion in 2016. NASCAR allowed him a test at Darlington late last year to get back and get him back after going through the concussion protocols. How much do you think this has built his confidence back up now that he's been able to get out there and run around other drivers on the racetrack?
I think it's fine. He said today that confidence is a big part of his success, and when he feels confident, he does well, and when he doesn't do so well, and that's true of a lot of athletes in a lot of different sports. But I think, he came in here saying, I just want to get out there and get back with the guys and break a sweat and see how it feels again because it's been so long. You mentioned the test that he did for NASCAR at Darlington in early December to get clearance to come back to racing. But I think for him, that's just one guy, one car, his team's out there all by themselves, nobody else around. And today it was back like, being one of the guys again. He's out there going in and out of the garage, making adjustments on the car, getting some laps, turning some quick laps. He was top five in the morning session, and he and Joey Logano were swapping the fastest times back and forth in the afternoon session today. So far, so good. I think he said there were a couple of little things that were different with the dash and, little minor things like that that you have to adjust to anytime you come back. But he just seemed genuinely happy to be back where he feels like he belongs.
One of the biggest things that coming on a lot of the fans' minds in 2017 is that at the media tour, NASCAR announcing the three tiers or the three stages coming into all three of the National Series events. My question so much isn't that NASCAR has announced three stages into these NASCAR events, but my question is more geared to the fact of, has NASCAR gone out and done enough to fix the core of the problem that I think we've seen in the past years, where people are not tuning in on TV, people are not coming to the racetrack because of the fact that they no longer find races palatable at 3.5 hours, 4 hours, 4.5 hours, etc. And as a side question to that, there is some discussion and there has been some rumors that at Pocono later this year that qualifying and the race will be at this on the same day. So all of this information at the same so knowing this, do you think that NASCAR should look at going to a one-day show bringing qualifying in and maybe thinking about shortening some of these events that maybe are just a bit too long, that run 3.5, 4, 4.5 hours long, to contain some of the, you know, some of the palatability that we've heard time and time again about why people just only watch 10 or 20 or 30 laps at the beginning, or 10 or 20 or 30 laps at the ending of a race.
Well, there's a lot of different issues there, and let's break it down piece by piece. First of all, yes, I'm always a proponent of shortening some races. You'll get pushback from the TV networks, for example, and from the tracks, who frankly need that revenue, need people on the property for a longer time to make their numbers work. However, you know, the time frames you mentioned, an NFL game is going 3.5 hours and sometimes 4 hours now. The difference is, and I think this is what they're trying to address with these stages, is there are breaks along the way. At a quarter break, you can go to the fridge, go to the bathroom if you're there, you know, cut up with your buddies and say, wow, did you see that type of thing. I think that's what these segments will create. It's not so much the overall length, it's that there aren't breaks. In NASCAR currently, when there are breaks for a caution, for example, there's still competition going on. These segments will allow a more natural standard break. Natural is probably not the right word, but a more standardized break, like after a 15 minutes in a football game ticks off the clock, you know you're going to get a break. That will mean that MRN, Fox, all the NBC, the networks will be able to know at this point I'm going to get this much time to get breaks in, so they won't have to break away in the final 10 or 20 laps when the action is really hot and heavy to get their commercial inventory in, which is bought and paid for. It's not something that they're doing to be mean to fans or punish them or anything like that. It costs a lot of money to do these races, and they have to make that money back. This will allow them to get some of that inventory out of the way along the way, instead of having to stick with really competitive action and worry about missing something. So I think that's number one. You saw you mentioned the thing about Pocono. That's an experiment that there are rumors that they may try to do all that in one day. However, if you're a fan, you're still going to be there for the same amount of time. It's just crammed into one day. From a tracks perspective, they may want to have it where they can have, I don't know, say, for example, I'm just throwing things at the wall here, qualifying and an Xfinity race, or qualifying for Cup and a truck race on the same day, and then do the other one. If it's an experiment and it works and fans like it and buy tickets in droves, well, job well done. And then we'll see other tracks follow suit and do more of the same type of thing. But I think in general, these segments will give a reason for drivers to compete in the middle stages of the race when, and let's be honest, they've got to be there at the end of the race now to get maximum points and have a chance at the win. Winning a segment doesn't get you a pass into the chase. Winning the whole race does at the end, the checkered flag, like traditionally. However, if there are points out there on the table that you get to carry with you through the playoffs, that's huge. And those guys are going to race hard to try and get those points, and that will lead to more competitiveness, more drama within the middle portion of the race, instead of, as you mentioned, fans who tune in to see the beginning and tune in to see the end.
You know, one of the biggest things that we continue to see is that no matter what, is that we've talked to track presidents. You know, we continue to talk to people within the sport. We continue to try and find everything that's possible out there to look at ways to reduce costs, things of that nature. And one of the things that, you know, I've talked about and I've at least thought about and, you know, wrote about at least once on SpeedwayDigest.com is that, you know, some of these tracks, and I'm just going to use Bristol Martinsville now that they're putting in lights in Richmond and Charlotte, because, you know, they're close enough in the vicinity of the NASCAR world that they can potentially do scenarios just such as this. You know, they run Saturday night races. You know, these drivers, they come from an aspect of a sport where Friday and Saturday night events, where they unload at 8 o'clock in the morning, they practice in the morning, they qualify early in the afternoon, and they run a 6 o'clock race at night. You know, there's ways that, you know, NASCAR, I believe, could adapt to some of those aspects in the Monster Energy Series, especially at tracks like that, which are close by, at least a test into this, because I think that there are ways that we could see the all the partners, the stakeholders, MRN, the Fox, NBC, et cetera, getting people on the track property, staying there all day long, because in the walls of this, we still have things that we could do in the process of putting things like concerts or whatever on in between of, let's just say, a qualifying event and the actual race itself, because people were going to be there. They're still going to go out and they're going to go to the fan zones and things of that nature. So it's a full day event, and the tracks are not having to keep the track open for another full day of something that may only pull in a tenth or a fifth of what they would see on a full day of competition like that.
Right. It's a chicken or the egg question. Do you have less fans over 2 days or more fans over 1 day? And that's a question that will have to be tested before we see if it's going to work or not. Who knows if that's going to be the case, if it will work or not. Right now, one of the biggest issues you see on the circuit is the hotel rates go up so much when you're at a race weekend, and they do that for anything. My goodness, I even heard of hotels jacking their prices through the roof where the lunar eclipse is going to come through later this year, where you can see it most directly, like $800 and a 3 or 4 night minimum. That goes on all over the country around any sport or any big event. They're trying to maximize their profits as well. But that may be something that is tried along the way. Look at how things work at, say, for example, Eldora, the midweek truck race, which is a shorter in and out type of show. And it's more important typically for the smaller organizations like you would see in the Camping World Truck Series or the Xfinity Series than it is at the Cup level, although expense is a big problem for them as well. They're always trying to find ways to keep costs down. Everybody is in every business. That's no, you know, secret or some stunning revelation. They're all looking for ways to do that.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think, you know, anything that could be tried. And that's why I pick tracks like, you know, Bristol, Martinsville, now that they have lights, you know, Richmond, Charlotte, because they are close. They are within a driving vicinity where I think, you know, this could be at least tested on, you know, at least one Saturday
well, not
night.
Not if
one
if you're furniture row racing all the way out in Denver, right?
Well, no, not for them. I mean, they've got a little bit of a long haul to go, but
yeah.
For them,
they
yeah,
might say, they might say, let's
off,
do it
but...
at Phoenix.
Yeah, but you've got 39 other teams that sit there and may overrule them on that one.
Right, but my point is anything you try is likely to have some unintended consequences, and nothing that you try, as you know, is going to make everybody happy all the time. That's just about virtually impossible.
Right. And that's true. For everything you try, there's going to be some action or consequence to that. And of course, you know, but I do think that, you know, something along those lines I think could be tried. I think NASCAR has shown that they're willing to shake the tree and rattle the tree a little bit and try some new things. I think Monster Energy, who has re-energized the sport, is willing to try some of these things to build a brand, build a market around some of these millennial and younger fans that may not want to come to the track for 2 or 3 days at the time.
Right, and look what they're doing in the other sports, the other venues that they're promoting right now. They don't even produce 30-second TV commercials, the tradition that we're all – or radio commercials, for that matter, the traditional that we're all used to. They typically depend on social media and the actual drama of the event to generate their interest, and they've done an excellent job with it. I'm anxious to see how much of that they'll be able to implement in the NASCAR side. I think it's something that should translate very well.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things about Monster Energy, I think, is really going to invigorate the sport. Is you just said something that, you know, a lot of people don't understand about them. They don't do print. They don't do internet advertising. They don't do television. They don't re-rate it. They don't do the terrestrial type of advertising that you would see out of a sponsor coming into the sport. They've always done it word of mouth, just as you just clearly put it out there. It's something very, very much different than we're used to within the sport. And they've been able to really get on top of their competitors and really been able to build a brand around it. But, Woody, I really do appreciate you. You know, we could have this conversation all night long, but I don't want to take up all of Tim's time, but I do appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight, and I'm going to hand you over to Tim.
All right.
Thanks, David. Woody, I want to go back to the test there where you're at Phoenix International Raceway. I know your time is limited, like I said earlier, but I want to play the media center interview there at Phoenix International with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and the question that you posed to him. And we'll listen to that in just a second.
All right, we're going to move along with Dale Earnhardt Jr., driver of the number 88 Nationwide Chevrolet. Dale, apologize for the heat.
Yeah, what's the deal?
if you just want to open up talking, you know, you obviously were behind the wheel at Darlington to get cleared to return to competition. But now being here at this test, sitting in the car again, can you just talk about that feeling and how your morning was?
Yeah, it was great. We, you know, just on the way up here, we got a chance yesterday to go to Key West for the NASCAR cruise, and so you're seeing all on social media, Kenny Wallace and Schrader and all them guys are having a blast. The King is there, so that's pretty interesting to me that they're all on that boat. Anyways, I had fun doing that. And then I left Amy there, but we're coming here to test, and I just was texting the guys. I'm like, man, I don't know why I'm just freaking pumped up about this. I don't have to drive the Wheel Force car, which is awesome, because that's not a lot of fun jumping in and out of the cars and the Wheel Force cars. You know, it's a funky little machine. So it's fun having Alex here to be able to drive the Wheel Force car for us and hang out with him later and just talk about racing. It's good to see everybody. My guys were excited this morning. We walked into Holler, and we had a little hiccup this morning with a small brake fire, but yeah, we got underway and got to trying some stuff that we had on our list. We got a really long list, and Greg and those guys are motoring right through it, and we've seen that the car has really good speed. Looking at the 22 and the 4, a couple guys of 42 that I think have been strong here in the past and will be again. We're right there with them, and I like the way the car feels. So it's been a fun day. Didn't really take any time to get acclimated or adjusted to anything. There's a couple small new things and maybe on with the cockpit or the dash, little things like that to get used to. This sport, it's funny how things continue to change. Technology in the cars and so forth continues to change. But as far as driving a car, I felt real comfortable out there.
Thank you very much. We'll open up to questions. Please raise your hand. We'll go down the line again, Jeff and Bob.
You talked about your enthusiasm for coming to the test. That seems unusual, given what I know about your attitude on testing in general. Were you surprised at yourself how excited you were to be back even for a test?
Yeah, I think me and you are kind of in the same boat, to be honest with you. It's just it's been a while. You miss the camaraderie and the work, the friendships that I have on my road with my road crew. I think they miss me, so that makes you feel good. They seem excited that we're working together and we're back together, and when you go out there and you be able to learn and put laps down, and the communication is right there with me and Greg. We're communicating really good, and I don't know. I do like racing at Phoenix, and it's been a great track for us. I've won a few races here, but the last couple of runs here, our car's been great. So kind of looking forward to getting here and knowing we got good speed. Trying to build on that so we can win these races when we come back. That's been kind of the focus and the challenge to keep the motivation, I guess, is the right word to say. But, testing, when you're racing every single week for 20 years and you're testing here and there, it gets kind of boring, no lie. But you got to really understand what the objectives are, try to motivate yourself to be a part of learning everything you can learn and being an asset to the team and the guys. If you get, if you're sitting on your phone and playing around, you need to be, you know, you need to talk to your crew chief and discuss with him and listen to what they're talking about and try to be a part of the team when you're here. And you forget and lose sight of that sometimes over time. You start getting lazy. But so I'm excited. I'm happy that we're here and the car's good, and we'll see how it goes.
Bob?
Bob Hocker, ESPN. Since we saw you last, you made some news with the tweet to the Muslim fan, and I never saw the original tweet, so I was curious if you were really kind of making a political statement, or were you just trying to kind of show support for one of your fans?
Yeah, he was very upset, distraught, and sad, and his tweet, I think, was directly to me, but it was felt like I wanted to show him some compassion, and I looked at his profile and seeing he was a NASCAR fan, I just felt like reaching out. I wasn't trying to interject into a political conversation, I wasn't trying to attempt to get a bunch of attention there, but because our tweets, I think, were just back and forth, one-on-one, but, you know, everything on the internet, it's there for life. It's very, very interesting what's going on in the world. Considering all the research I did on my own family tree, it's just incredible. And I read a lot of news, try to stay on top every day of current events, and not that I'm an expert or understand everything that's happening in the world or has been going on, but I don't know how I ran across that tweet, but it just felt like that guy needed somebody to show, you know, he needed some compassion, and not that I understand what it feels like to be in that position, but I certainly felt bad for the guy.
Woody came with MRN. Dale, just curious to get your thoughts on the modernization project that Phoenix announced yesterday and all the stuff they're going to do with the garages, and in particular moving the start-finish line over by the dogleg.
Yeah, I was. I had some conversations with the track a while ago about these changes, and they did talk to some of the drivers about what they were doing, and did take some ideas on some of the things the drivers thought would help or be good. And so I'm glad that there was some collaboration between the track and the drivers, because it makes you feel like you had something to do with it or had some input. I think it'll be really interesting to have the restarts while we're in the turn. So you're going to be coming through this corner. Imagine if you're 20th, middle of the pack, trying to get a good restart while you're in a corner. I mean, it's going to be interesting to throttle up out of the turn for a restart. It's going to be guys all over the place going through the dogleg. Because on restarts, you have guys that accelerate better than others, guys in the right lane, the wrong lane. It's going to be a chaos coming through the dogleg, guys trying to shortcut to get into the new turn one. And it'll be some action. So if I was, as a driver, you know, I'm getting a lot more comfortable with change and not quite as cynical about all that. As a fan, you got to love it. I mean, they're going to make this a better experience for the fans comfort-wise. You're going to have a better point of view of where the action is. They've always done a great job here. The fans always seem to enjoy coming here, fill this place up. So it's not going to really interrupt our season or the track's progress. So I think it's great. I think they're doing some good stuff.
Rudy, Woody, real quick, can you talk a little bit about, can you let our listeners know exactly what Phoenix International Raceway what they're doing as far as changing the track there?
Well, it's a $178 million modernization project. Think of some of the things that they did at Daytona, the Daytona Rising Project. Of course, it's a different shape, different size track, so the dynamics of it will be different. But basically, everything that's in the infield is going to be raised. They're going to have brand-new garage areas. They're going to have viewing areas where you can walk right up and look into the garage and interact, similar to folks might be familiar with what they have at Las Vegas with the neon garage. Not exactly like that, but something similar. That same type of concept is what they're after. The Victory Lane is going to be more interactive and open to fans as well. New grandstands on beside the Allison grandstands that are in what is now turn one and two and swinging around on that side toward what is now the backstretch. The start-finish line is going to be coming off of what is now turn two and will be three and four, right in front of that dog leg area. They're going to reconfigure pit road where it's going to basically sweep around that corner where one and two are now. They're going to get rid of the grandstands that are along the front stretch. That's going to be like RV-type parking, and like you see at a lot of tracks on the back stretch now, and move those seats sweeping all the way through what is now turns one and two and partway a little bit ways down the back stretch there. They're going to have a pedestrian tunnel that will connect the outer area behind those grandstands to the inner area into that fan zone garage area. They're going to have that midway area connected by a fan tunnel. And one of the coolest things is they're going to have brand new seats, no more bleachers. They're going to have seats, actual seats in all these new grandstands, and there's going to be Wi-Fi throughout everywhere. Even in your seat, they're going to have Wi-Fi. So I know a lot of people will really like that. And it's supposed to be finished in November of 2018.
That's awesome, Woody. And, again, thank you for calling in, Woody. Thank you for taking time out. I know we've kept you longer than what you agreed, but we always let our guests let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud.
It's at W-Y-Kane, C-A-I-N, at W-Y-Kane, and we'll put a lot of stuff up there. Got some cool pictures from the garage today and that type of stuff. So jump on board. Have some fun with us.
Thanks, Woody. I will be retweeting them pictures. And, again, keep posted straight if you don't mind for me, bud.
Yeah, that's more than a one-man job.
All right. Woody, thank you very much. That's Woody Kane live from the Valley of the Sun here at Phoenix International Raceway. Woody, appreciate it, bud. We'll talk at you later, my friend. Woody Kane there from MRN Radio. Stephen, now we've got we have just got everything going on. We've got my good friend from Brett Holmes Racing, Mr. Brett Holmes from up there, Montford, Alabama zone. Let's bring Brett into Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Brett, how you doing tonight? Sorry about the delay. We had Woody Kane on there from MRN, and we just got talking about a lot of stuff. He's out there in Phoenix covering. He covered the test today for the the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. That's hard to say. Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing great. Brett, I'm going to throw you over to Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. I need to make a pit stop, so I'll be right back, and I'll be right back, Brett. Go ahead, Steve.
Brett, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. First question I want to ask you about is a couple weeks ago, ARCA conducted this test out there at Daytona. Can you just talk just a little bit about the test out there at Daytona? I think there was about 60 cars out there that took some time throughout the two-day test. How it got you prepared to run this season full-time?
I felt like at the test we were pretty decent. That was my second time at Daytona. I did the test last year with Empire Racing. I didn't do the race, and this year we did it with our team and a bunch of new members on our team, new crew chief and everything. And so it was definitely a learning experience, and I definitely felt like we learned a lot what to pick up on for next time we come back. We ended up 8th overall. I thought that was pretty decent for what we had, and a little bit of lack of experience from my end, and as far as drafting goes, still a little bit. I've got a little to gain there, and it's pretty cool. I feel like we're after the test, Steven, we're pretty good, and I think it's gonna reflect a lot on our season and show how consistent we can be at all these diverse tracks that we're going to go to.
And this right before the test got underway out there at Daytona, you guys had announced that you're going to pair up with GMS Racing this year to be a part of your team, not only engineering-wise, but to help prepare the cars. How is that going to help you guys as a small team better prepare and better be able to compete against some of the other teams now, especially that the teams like Joe Gibbs Racing are going to come down for the series in 2017?
It's fun. I mean, you know, you got to look at us and compare us to other teams. You know, this is our first, or you know, first year in the ARCA series with us doing everything, and you know, a bunch of these other teams like Venturini and Cunningham, they're already established, you know what I mean? And having to compete against those guys who've been doing it this long is pretty tough. And ZMS, with all of their guys, they got a Mike Beam, and all the guys at GMS have just been really helpful to us. And I can't, me and my dad can't be any happier about everything they've done to help us out. And I'm really glad we built a relationship with them last year, and it just kept going on and on. And, you know, and we both want the same thing. You know, we just want to win and want to have success. And GMS has won an ARCA championship already, and won a truck championship last year, and running three or four trucks and a full-time Xfinity car. So they're moving on up and growing and trying to have success just like we are. So it's, like I said, it's great. They're definitely when we go to a few, they're going to be busy as it is, you know, with their busy schedule. But when we go testing and stuff like that, and you know, through the week at the shop, they're going to help us with some of their engineers and stuff like that on the pull down rig, and when we go test at some of the tracks. So, like I said, I couldn't be any more happy than everything they've done for us.
And you have a rather diverse background, not only running on the dirt tracks through Alabama. I think Tim had said earlier, and he can probably, or you can correct me on that, but you've also raced throughout, I believe, through the Panhandle in Florida on asphalt tracks. And again, you can correct me on that.
Go ahead. I don't know any, you know, much of what I, you know, I don't know if there's anything I haven't done other than like sprint cars or open wheels, but I've made a lot of transitions through my short career through dirt go-karts and legend cars on asphalt, back to late models on dirt, and back to asphalt again and late models, and now with the ARCA series. And, you know, I've only had each time, you know, I've only, you know, had 1 or 2 years to, and then I've made another transition. So I feel like I'm constantly learning something, and it's tough. I mean, it is tough for us having to compete against these guys who are just running the same thing, through their careers, and having to compete against them is really hard. And but I feel like today it's made me a better driver today. I feel like with all those transitions and all those different type cars has got me to this point in my career, and you know, I feel like I got a pretty good shot at this, and I think I can make something out of racing one day. But I've still got a lot to learn, and but I can't forget where I came from. You know what I mean? I grew up so much at Talladega Short Track and the Talladega Raceway Park my whole life with my dad dirt racing, and that's how I really got into it. You know, without him, I wouldn't even thought about racing. But growing up, going to the dirt tracks and meeting all the people I did, and being there so many years, and that's why I feel like it's so special to get to do what I'm doing, because there's not, you know, anybody from around our area that's really done anything like this. And it's pretty surreal to get to do it, and to get to race at you know, the Super Speedway, and somewhere I've grown up, you know, going to the track and watching, and it's been unreal, honestly.
And with your experience of that you just touched on just a little bit, the ARCA Racing Series goes to many different formats of tracks. You're going to start the season off in Daytona at 2.5 miles Super Speedway. And you're also going to go to short tracks. You're going to go to places like Duplin where they race on dirt. So you're going to go to places like Kentucky and Kansas, which are mile and a half tracks. So you're really just going to get a variety of tracks that you're going to go through the season with in this first full-time year. So using your experience that you already have right now that you've gained, what do you think looking at the schedule, what do you think right now are going to be tracks that you think you're going to excel at, and what do you think are going to be some tracks that you're going to need to brush up on a little bit?
I think, and showing from our results in the 7 ARCA races we did last season, I think my biggest strong point will be the short tracks, obviously. I mean, that's something I've always done every year, year in and out. Even when I go to a track I've never gone to before, it's not taking me long to get acclimated. What I need to be doing there, and I don't think I feel like I've gained enough experience and made enough laps to know how to get around short tracks, and I think that'll be our best opportunities to finish well. I think we definitely had a couple chances last year to win races at Nashville and Berlin and Salem. We came really close, and just the pit strategies didn't work out like we wanted to, and maybe the super speedways a little bit too. I think I had a good top 5 going last year at Talladega, and just messed up there at the end with 2 laps left, and one mess up at these super speedways, and you're in the back. So we ended up finishing 10th there, but I think where I'm really going to struggle at is the road course for sure. We're going to Road America this year. I've never had to make any right turns, so that'll be a big hurdle for me to do, get over. And but we plan on testing a couple times for that to see if I can get better at that. And I still think I've got a lot more to learn, especially at the intermediate tracks. And a lot happens when you're going that fast, and just the tiniest mistakes can make the biggest differences. And but I think with the experienced crew members on our team, and the guys I'm racing against this year, guys I've raced these past couple years and late models, and so I'm really going to rely on them for feedback and stuff like that. But in the end, it comes down on us. So.
And being over there at GMS, have you reached out to anybody within the organization as of yet for tracks that they go to, like Daytona, Kentucky, Kansas, or just other tracks, or just for just general information or just general help from them or their drivers that might be able to help you this year? And this is going to be my last question. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim as soon as I'm done, but I do appreciate it. But I just want to know if you had reached out to anybody over there and they've been of any help to you or help you get ready for this season at some of the tracks that, they go to or have been to on the ARCA or, truck racing or Xfinity Series circuit.
I'm glad you asked that. Last year, Grant Enfinger, he won the ARCA championship last year, or 2 years ago, I should say. But I really relied on Grant a lot last year, and he's, raced over 60-something ARCA races and been at every track that I could even think of, and even in late models too. So he was a big help last year, and I still, even with him going to Thor Sport, this year, which they just announced today, he's getting a full truck, doing a whole truck season, which is great. I don't think anybody else deserves the opportunity more than he does. He's worked really hard for it. And but I'm still, me and Grant are still really good friends, and I plan on relying on him a good bit for these other tracks, even though he's racing trucks this year. And a couple of the guys that are even racing the ARCA series, like Dalton Sargent and Gus Dean, I mean, they've had a ton of experience too at these tracks, and Shane Lee as well. I mean, I raced against a bunch of those guys in late models a few times, and I really feel like they, wouldn't mind helping each other out. And I think that'll be the biggest benefit and our biggest learning curve as far as helping me gain experience as quick as possible. And but that's just what it takes, is just talking to people and and kind of scoping out what you can see. Watch as many videos as you can. A lot of what I do is watching car cameras as much as I can to try to get acclimated. But it's tough. I mean, the ARCA series is one of the most diverse series, and I think it's really cool that, you know, they go to dirt tracks and every other track, you know. But I might be a little rusty, but I think I can do it again.
But I do appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. I think he's here. Tim, you with us?
Yeah, I got you, Stephen. Thank you, bud.
Okay.
All right. Brent, just want to go back on something that Stephen touched on there. There at Talladega Short Track, back on May the 11th, 2013, you run a lap of 12.958. You still hold the track record. You was a 16-year-old back then, isn't it? Just want to talk a little bit about who was right behind you on the same night, Tim Rozelle. For the pole clock, he run a 12.9. Can you take us through that lap? I mean, I just want to hear you talk about that lap, Brett. You know, Suzanne and I, we go out there and watch a lot of races there, but I mean, that's what you call getting some yonder around Talladega Short Track, isn't it, bud?
Yeah, it sure was, and definitely felt like it. It was amazing, honestly. To be completely honest with you, I spun out coming to the green flag going into turn three, and you know, I turned around and I was just like, well, you know, if I, you know, I already embarrassed myself, I might as well just go as hard as I can. So, but I had my little spec motor in and 12-inch spoiler, and it rained right before qualifying, and that was the biggest difference maker in getting that time. And a couple things that made that really special, though, was Tim Rozzo actually coached me in Pard League baseball when I was T-ball when I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I thought that was funny that, you know, I grew up and started racing against him, and that night especially, just beating him by that little bit of margin. We still give each other hell about it sometimes. And my dad as well, he had the track record at 1.2, and you know, him racing there, and I know it meant a lot to him, and I still give hell about it to him too, and tell him, you know, when he tries to tell me something, I just tell him that I went faster than he did. So that's my biggest joke when I'm talking to them too. But I barely cracked the throttle. I remember just barely cracking the throttle and holding on. And, you know, I didn't think I would get that good of a time, but, you know, I tried my hardest, and, the crew did their best too. And that's all you can do. I mean, you know, and qualifying is a lot about just what my dad says, just gritting your teeth and, seeing who can drive the hardest. And, that night was really special.
I bet it was, Brett. And, you know, you still hold the track record here to this date, and it's probably going to be hard to be broke. But I want to go to the ARCA Racing Series. Last year, you know, you didn't run but 7 races in the ARCA Racing Series. You had 3 top 5, 6 top 10. And you had an average start of 7.6, average finish of 8.5. I mean, that's pretty good stats just for just running that small amount of racing.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, we chose to do 7 because we were still running our late model stuff a good bit, and we weren't established enough to do more races than that. And that was good enough to get my toes wet for this season, especially to prepare me for this season. And we should have won our Nashville our debut at Nashville. Qualified second. I went out before Chase Briscoe and broke the track record for the ARCA series there. And he went out and went 300s faster than me. And so I started second and led a few laps of the race. And we were definitely the car to beat there. And in the end, it just came to pit strategy. And we still had 4 tires left in the pits. And Never had a caution to put them on, and I felt like we had one slip away from us there. But I mean, that's the part. That's the deal about, you know, gambling and pitting and stuff like that. But you know, we still had a lot of good finishes, I feel like, and gained a lot of experience for this year. I wish we would have had a win last year, but that, you know, doesn't bring my confidence down any. I mean, I know we can do it, and we got a shot to win the championship this year.
And Brett, you know, Steven also asked you about, you know, you're moving a shot, you know, just right up the road from me here in Montford, Alabama, about far from where the crow flies, where you live up there. Y'all moving the shop up to GMS Racing. So y'all moving everything up there. But just want to ask you, are y'all going to run the composite body and the Elmore motor this year in the ARCA Racing Series?
Yes, sir, we are. We ran it last year, too, and at all the short tracks and intermediate tracks. And, of course, the Speedway bodies are still, you know, steel bodies this year, but we have all Elmore engines. And but I really think, like, what the ARCA series did this year with those changes has made it a lot better on, you know, people putting money into the series, and especially in the long run. I know it was tough on some people having change from those bodies to put the composite bodies on, but in the end, it's going to save a lot of racers money, and that's, I mean, that should be the any series goal, is to see any way they can help save money to get a better car count. And I feel like, you know, Ron Draeger and Joe Wells and all those guys with ARCA, you know, really made a good move with that. And I mean, I love it. I think it makes the series look a lot more professional. I mean, they look like cup cars now, you know, so I really think it gives the series a facelift and really helps a lot of the racers out.
And Brett, my final question, I want to put you on the spot, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. With
okay,
with Brett Holmes Motorsports moving in up there with GMS Racing, could there be possibly a truck race coming this year, maybe down the road for Brett Holmes?
Maybe, maybe not. GMS is. Like I said, we've made a really good relationship with GMS and Mike Beam and the Gallagher family. You know, they're all great people there. And like I said, they have the same goal to win and have success. And I'm not going to just stay at the ARCA series. I want to move up and get as high as I can go in racing, period. And that's just always been my dream. And the truck series is just another – just another step along that path. And you know, I think down the road, if I had to choose a team to go with, it would be GMS. But for right now, we're focused on the ARCA series, and that's our first priority. And take it step by step, and we'll worry about that stuff in the off season. But this year, there may have something come up to where we end up doing it, and I wouldn't mind. You know, it would really help me out and let me get a little bit comfortable if I did do something next year. But honestly, it just depends on, you know, how much success we have this year in the ARCA series. If we feel like we're not ready to move up, or if I feel like I'm not ready to move up, then, you know, we might do another year or do a few more races in ARCA and just see how it plays out. But to be honest with you, I think with the experience I have now and you know, all the resources that we have at GMS and our team, I don't think we have any excuse to lose.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave it as this, Brett. If, I'm saying if that situation comes up, I will contact Jason Katz, and if that comes up, we want you to come on our show that Tuesday night. If, I keep saying if, you get the truck, we want to have you back on our show.
Okay, for sure. I really appreciate that.
All right. Brett, I want to thank you for taking time out to call in. I know we've kept you well over what we said we would, and I apologize for Woody Kane from MRN running over, but tell Jason Katz we said hello, and good luck this year in the ARCA Racing Series, and we will be keeping in touch, and let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, and all and all your sponsors. Brett, you got the floor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Well, you can keep up with a lot of our racing through our Facebook page at Brett Holmes Racing, and then my Twitter and Instagram at Brett Holmes 2. We're going to have another website coming soon at brettholmes.com. That's still in the works, and that'll probably come up in a month or so. But I'm really looking forward to getting the series started and getting back behind the wheel in a couple weeks.
That sounds good. And, Brett, again, thank you for taking time out to come on the Pit Stop Radio on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Good luck in this upcoming ARCA Racing Series in the 2017 series, and good luck at Daytona. And tell Jason Katz we said hello, and you have a good night, bud.
I will. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, Brett. We'll see you, bud. Steven, that was Brett Holmes there. He's moving his shop, and it's right up the way the crow flies. Mumford, Alabama ain't far from here, but Steven, it's been a big night. Me and you've had to stretch out brakes. We've had Woody. We want to thank Woody Kane from MRN Radio coming on from out there at Phoenix International Raceway. I want to thank Brett Holmes again for coming on there, and I want to thank Brett Holmes' PR, Jason Katz. I've been in touch with him. Steven, is there any breaking news that we hadn't had time to cover?
No, not really much this week. I think most of this stuff is going to start gearing up probably next week as they get ready to head to Daytona for the Clash on the 18th.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, we had the 24-hour, the Rolex deal this past weekend. We didn't have time to talk about that. But, Steven, it's been a long night. You've been working all day. I've been working all day, too. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media. And I'll play a song, and we'll get out of here. Till next Tuesday night. Let everybody know next Tuesday night, 7:15 Eastern, 6:15 Central Time. Like I was talking about earlier, we have Scott Zipadilla coming on. Yeah, just want to let you know that. And the number to call in is 215-333-3681 if y'all want to put that in your phones. And, Stephen, let everybody know we're going to follow you on social media, your website. You do a great job with your website. And also, thank you for keeping up, our SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com website that looks really great. You know, everybody can go there. They can see Stephen and I's tweets. They can listen to the show. And you got the floor, bud. I'm tired. I've been working all day. And let everybody know where they can follow you at. And we're going to play a song. Get out of here.
You can follow me at Speedway Digest on Twitter, Facebook.com/SpeedwayDigest and SpeedwayDigest.com.
Stephen, tell AM and the boys we said hello, and I'll talk at you next Tuesday. We're going to say live from Vega Nation, we'll see you next Tuesday night.
Baking, we at it again. somebody.